From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he commences a message bearing the title, The Scandal of Defeated Christians. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 7. There is no spot in thee. Having pronounced his church positively full of beauty, our Lord confirms his praise by a precious negative. There is no spot in thee. As if the thought occurred to the bridegroom, that the carping world would insinuate that he had only mentioned her comely parts and had purposely omitted those features which were deformed or defiled, he sums up all by declaring her universally and entirely fair and utterly devoid of stain. A spot may soon be removed, and is the very least thing that can disfigure beauty. But even from this little blemish the believer is delivered in his Lord's sight. If he had said there is no hideous scar, no horrible deformity, no deadly ulcer, we might even then have marveled. But when he testifies that she is free from the slightest spot, all these other forms of defilement are included, and the depth of wonder is increased. If he had but promised to remove all spots by and by, we should have had eternal reason for joy. But when he speaks of it as already done, who can restrain the most intense emotions of satisfaction and delight? O my soul, here is marrow and fatness for thee. Eat thy full, and be satisfied with royal dainties. Christ Jesus has no quarrel with his spouse. She often wanders from him and grieves his Holy Spirit, but he does not allow her faults to affect his love. He sometimes chides, but it is always in the tenderest manner, with the kindest intentions. It is my love, even then. There is no remembrance of our follies. He does not cherish ill thoughts of us, but he pardons and loves as well after the offense as before it. It is well for us it is so, for if Jesus were as mindful of injuries as we are, how could he commune with us? Many a time a believer will put himself out of humor with the Lord for some slight turn in providence. But our precious husband knows our silly hearts too well to take offense at our ill manners.
Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, my heart has been cleansed by thy grace. I rejoice that the God of creation would die on the cross in my place.
Never shall there be condemnation to him who has called upon thee? Thou never will leave nor forsake me. This promise I find in thy word. Thine eyes have seen thy salvation. Redemption through Jesus my Lord.
Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I know by thy grace I'm made whole. In my heart there is glad adoration, and wonderful peace floods my soul. The power of thy blood shall not falter. Thy mercy shall
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding to think about section that draws lines of application from the text to modern day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. In Joshua chapter 7, we find the record of Israel's shocking defeat at the city of Ai. In the previous messages, Dr. Cairns has demonstrated the disastrous results of sin in the camp, the sin of Achan. In verse 8 of chapter 7, Joshua is on his face before God, crying out in dismay, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? As Dr. Cairns will point out in his introduction to the message, this cry to God revealed Joshua's spiritual sensitivity in the circumstance. It is an attitude that all of God's people should manifest when either they themselves or their churches are suffering spiritual defeat. In applying this passage to individual Christians and to the church at large, Dr. Cairns first of all emphasizes that God's people are called to victory, not to defeat. Now, here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message called The Scandal of Defeated Christians.
Now, returning again this morning to Joshua 7. Many of you thought we had finished with Joshua 7. And you may well have been forgiven for that. But before we move into the next chapter, there is one verse that struck my attention, and I felt we should spend a little time on it. We're only going to read the one verse since we have read through this chapter numerous occasions in the past weeks. Joshua 7 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 8. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? What shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? To Joshua, the defeat of Israel at the little city of Ai was devastating. He could hardly believe what had happened. I think you could honestly say that he was practically struck dumb with horror. For if there's one thing that Joshua felt he could not live with, it was defeat. He was a man who was called to victory, to conquest continually, to progress, until the armies of Israel had taken the entire promised land. There had to be, in his day, a very large settlement of the land that would lead to a full and final settlement of it. Thus, when Israel fled before the men of Ai, Joshua was completely dumbfounded. And coming before the Lord to complain about this, he came to this, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs upon their enemies? He was speechless at what he considered to be the scandal of Israel in retreat. Now, chapter 7 of Joshua is, for the most part, a very dark chapter. But it has this one bright spot in it. And that bright spot is that Joshua should have felt this way. Because feeling this way and expressing himself in this way spoke volumes for Joshua's spiritual vision, and for Joshua's spiritual hopes, and for his spiritual standards. I would to God that we as Christians felt the very same way. I would to God that we felt the scandal of the sight of Christians in full retreat before the enemy. That we would feel the scandal of the Christian church going backwards instead of forwards. In reality, can there be any greater scandal than this? To see the armies of the King of Heaven in full flight before the forces of the world and the flesh and the devil. I want us to think of this morning, the scandal of Christians in retreat. And looking at Joshua, learning from this passage of Scripture, I trust the Lord will speak to us, first of all, to convince us and convict us that this is a scandalous thing. To show us the reasons for the scandal, and best of all, to show us the way out of it into the victory of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, let me note, and this is certainly implicit in what Joshua says here, let me note that God's people are called to victory. Joshua knew this. He felt this. He lived this. He breathed this. This is something that was in the very bloodstream of the man. We are a people called to victory. He well remembered that not long before, the Lord had met with him. And he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And then he said in Joshua 1, verse 2, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them. And then in verse 3, he promised, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. And then in verse 5, the Lord promised, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. The Lord then put the climax, the crown to the whole thing. He said, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So Joshua had this from God. Joshua knew that the God who called him, the God who gave him the place that he occupied, had with that calling given him this solemn undertaking that he and his people were called to victory. Now you and I, if we're Christians, have the very same calling and the very same promise. When the Lord Jesus Christ saves a man, he, to use the words of Charles Wesley's great hymn, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. The psalmist said of the saving action of the Lord looseth the prisoners. He sets them free. He breaks the things that bind them. He takes them from the position of being victims to that of being victors. He takes them from being the defeated ones to being the conquering ones. John says in his first epistle, chapter 5 and verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. My, this is a message. This is a gospel to take to the dark places of this earth. The psalmist again spoke of the habitations of this world, the dark places of this world being the habitations of cruelty. These are dark spots indeed. You look across the world, it doesn't matter whether it's the Western world, the Eastern world, the First World or the Third World. It makes no difference whether you're dealing with rich people or poor people, black people or white people. When you get into the places of this world, they are the habitations of cruelty. You have broken minds, broken bodies, broken lives, broken hearts, broken homes. The devil is a hard taskmaster. Sin is an awful tyrant, and it is breaking men before it damns them in the blackness and the darkness of hell, where they're chained in outer darkness forever. That's the world. But oh, there is a message of light. There's a message of life. There's a message of liberty. And that message, in the words of the hymn that Steve had us sing last week, was Jesus saves. As he thought of Turkey going into a country full of unsee of people, with just a few hundred people scattered throughout 62 million unsee of people, he thought of a message that would express the hope of the gospel preacher. And that's why he had us sing that song, Jesus saves. We can go to the dark spots of the earth and tell them Jesus saves. We can go to the broken lives and tell them he remakes the broken man. He heals the brokenhearted and he gives life to the dead. And when he does it, he sets them free. Let me stop there. I want to preach particularly to God's people this morning. But before we get there, let me make it clear to you, if you're in the position of a sinner without Christ, still bound fast by sin and shame. There's a message of God's grace, a message of God's love, a message of God's power, a message of God's hope for you. Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by Him. And when He saves them, He does a perfect job. They overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith in Christ. Somebody said to David Braham when he and Joy were going through such terrible times, and their little one had just been diagnosed with a deadly illness and just a few days away from death. One of the nurses or doctors up in the hospital said, "You people have great faith." Such was the overcoming that they saw in their lives. David said, "No, we do not have great faith, but we have a great Savior in whom our faith is resting." It is the object of the faith who gives us the victory. That's why Paul could say in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, "We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Now this is the calling of the people of God. When the Lord Jesus sent His disciples out to begin an evangelistic ministry, He knew that they were going to face all sorts of opposition. And He said in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give unto you power." Let's stop there. That's the promise to every Christian. When God saves you, He says, "I give unto you power. You're no longer a weak and helpless individual. I give power unto you. Power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you." I well remember in the darkest conflict I have ever had to wage with the naked powers of hell, that was a text that was constantly in my heart and constantly in my praying. This was the promise. "I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Paul knew that power. And that's why he said, "Thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." So Christians are called to victory. They're called to victory over sin. You remember in the 7th chapter of Romans, we have the text, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Feeling the encroachments of sin, the attack of sin, the lust of the flesh, the fury of the world. We often feel in the flesh, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to give us deliverance?" I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's victory over sin for every Christian. Not just for the elite among Christians, but for every Christian. There's victory over sin. Whatever that sin is, whatever that easily besetting sin is in your life or mine, there is victory for the Christian. That is our high calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. The calling of God is an upward calling. It's an uplifting calling. It's a heavenward calling. It's not a calling that leaves us in the mud and the mire. It is a calling to holiness. There's victory for the Christian over sin. There's victory for the Christian over Satan. We read that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Revelation 12:11. They overcame the old serpent, the devil. by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God we're not called to battle the devil and his powers in the power of the flesh, in the arm of man. We're called to do so on the ground of the victory of Calvary. Satan is a defeated foe. He can go no further than the sovereign purpose of God permits him. And he has to have permission for every step that he takes. Our God is the King. Let's get rid of this ancient dualism, as it's called, that has made its way into so much Christian theology. You'd imagine there were two great potentates out there, God and the devil, and they're locked in mortal combat. And we're not too sure how the battle's going to turn out, but we're cheering for God anyway. Let me tell you, that's nonsense. There is no truth that there are two ultimate powers out there. There is but one ultimate power. It's the power of our God. Satan is his creature, and Satan will do his command. Let's never forget that. Our God's on the throne. He hasn't moved over to make room for somebody else beside him. God alone is on the throne. He gives us power over Satan.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.